money is power. The power to control the money is one that is now in the hands of those who believe that we can't function without them. So how can we do something? Working hard to get a raise, lifting that wage up. Inflation, take it like a hidden taxation. Created interest rates, think it's a bank way to create money with the loans that they're giving out daily. That means our money is dead, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. You wonder then why the middle class is going under when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments for saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. Maybe a little bit longer today if we run over. Thanks to the generosity of the management here at WWPR 1490 AM. It's a weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news. And what happened this week? Well, another week, another record high for Bitcoin. But this week it includes approximately a $4,000 swing in about an hour in anticipation of Sunday's start of futures trading. Not to be left out of the record high price party, IOTA and Lightchain reach record highs. Plus, Ripple makes waves with a $5 billion token escrow announcement. All that this triggers the institutional cash flow floodgate tenders of the major financial institutions to ponder how they're going to cope with the new futures contract. But have no fear, White House National Economic Council Director Gary Cohn downplays any Bitcoin risk. Also coming up later in the show, a surprise guest that we'll be happy to tell you about more later. Change of pace, but then again, not so much. Well, as we welcome everyone back into the studio, let's go first of all to... First this week, Augie. Good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon. It looks like good morning because the rain's been continuing ever since.
And also, sharing mics. We have a full studio today, and there's going to be a little back and forth here as we try and get everybody in on this. But we'll work through that issues, as I can tell the commotion here in the studio that there must be other stuff going on here today. But let's say hi to the next staff and a person here. Well, that can only be one of two people, and it's not the one from last week. It's the other one. And that, of course, is going to be Lennart Lopen, the Chief Technical Officer from Byte Federal, putting Byte Federal ATMs all across the planet and soon beyond, probably. And he is here back to tell us some technical information.
Actually, that's not too far from the truth. Thanks, Harry and Henry, for having me back.
And we're still working through the mics here. All these mics, just for all the new people in the house or returning people in the house, are directional. So you're going to have to be directly in front of this as we go through this. Well, back live in the studio for a change. Well, not much. That's the habit. But back after a hiatus last week from far, we have... Of course, it's Goldberg, a.k.a. Andy. Hey, Andy, good to have you back in the studio.
I'm glad to be back, Henry. Thank you.
Now, you got a nice, crisp voice coming through that mic. You know, when you see a directional, you know what to do with it.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we'll see if the next person knows what to do with a directional when it's put right in front of him, because he's been away on a hiatus. And many people have been asking, what happened to him? What happened to him? Well, sometimes... the missionary has to go where no one else will go. And the missionary of cryptocurrency investment is back in the studio with us, going to where the people that need it the most to be educated would find him there. And that, of course, is. Solis Digital Assets. Well, that must mean it's Alex Solis back in the studio. Good afternoon, Alex.
Thank you very much, Henry, for having me back, and it feels really, really good to be here.
I'm sure it does. It's tough being out educating people and explaining this stuff. And I mean, you're practically surrounded by a brain trust equal to the Scarecrow of Wizard of Oz, I think, right now. And when the new guest comes in, we will be at a level of brain power way beyond the Scarecrow. But we'll have to deal with that level for the time being. Good to have you back, Alex. And everything going strong with Solis Digital Assets?
Oh, we are bigger than ever. We are now doing Bradenton businesses now. We have Florida Lock and Key is now the first locksmith company in Bradenton accept Florida Lock and Key. They accept any cryptocurrency, mainly Bitcoin.
No, they're not the first business.
They're the first locksmith business.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Lots of stuff going on today. We're going to get into all that right away here.
I've got news for you.
Well, it was on the way up, on the way down. It was all over the place this week as preparation for the introduction and the start of trading of Bitcoin futures. We thought it was going to be CME Group because they were the first to announce a definite date, but the Chicago Board of Options and Exchange seemed to, in my opinion, that I have a firm, seemed to try to jump ahead of them, and they are going to start trading tomorrow. So we're on the one-day countdown to that. Bitcoin has sustained its phenomenal rise and already surpassed the $18,000 mark on December 7th of 2017. The leading virtual currency's market capitalization at that time hit a record high of $305 billion, which is more than the payments technology firm you may have heard of, Visa, who is at $254 billion plus. A lot of things going into that. But just as we take a look at airtime around the marketplace and see where things are right now, it has backed off quite a bit from that high. It had been trading in the $15,000 to $16,000 range. And as we look right now, as we speak, it's backed off down to $14,400. We'll get to some of the other currencies, too, that have experienced highs this week. But we're looking at this. We have this coming up. Andy, I know, has done some writing about the futures market and what to expect there. I would think observing this week, Andy, we're going to get a little bit more about what the requirements are for the clients of these big financial institutions in just a second. But just watching in the general market, it looks you have one group of investors that wanted to get on because they saw the motion, they saw what was going to happen, they wanted to be part of it. You have the people, if you're going to be trading futures, and you're not going to, especially if you're selling on the long side, you don't want to be doing that naked, as in not having any Bitcoin, so you need to go in and buy Bitcoin, so you're protected on that aspect. So we have whatever hedge funds and big financial players coming into the marketplace. We saw the rise up past 18,000, and then it was sort of plateauing right around the $16,000 mark for the last 24 hours, and now we're seeing a sell-off today, which I would assume, but I want your opinion, is all the people that are bullish about it have gotten in, and now all the people that are fearful of the launch tomorrow are getting out. What do you have to say?
Well, I think you're just seeing, the calm before the storm, and people are anticipating this, the release of the futures market, and I'm not sure really what to take of it. We are at a peak here, and the pullback's common, so I'm not sure that it's a bearish sentiment. Actually, I think it's more bullish than anything.
This isn't a sell on the news, a buy on the rumor, sell on the news situation?
I don't think so.
Is there a bottom?
Well, there's always a bottom, zero.
What is it?
Well, I think 10,000 would probably be the largest pullback right now.
That's what Jamie says.
Well, Jamie, you know, he's got something to protect there.
Well, we actually have someone lined up on the audio here that will actually give a pretty objective overview of that. But if we just look at the, you could also say, how many days back into the past do we go? Because it was a week ago on this show, I think we were trading around $9,000, weren't we? Wondering if we'd get to 10 or 11 or 12.
Well, I mean, you know, it's odd that right after they released the fact that they were going, the date of the futures trading on Good Friday there, or I'm sorry, the Friday after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. And so a lot of, it took time for people to get accounts set up. And of course, Coinbase had a record breaking account day that day. And by the time they got money transferred in, it seemed about Monday afternoon, Bitcoin just started shooting through the roof. And I just think you see people coming in and buying at that point.
Really, if we go back 30 days looking at the chart here, we're at 6,000. So, I mean...
It's crazy. It's better than Netflix right now.
Oh, you mean for entertainment value?
For stock.
Okay. And, Alex, what are you telling your clients right now about to take profit, to not take profit? Do you, I know you don't give them financial advice per se, but they have to be asking you questions. And what's your response?
So hold on to the Bitcoin. It's going to split twice next year. Hold on. When it splits, everybody dumps more money in. We got Bitcoin Diamond coming out and SegWit 2X coming out.
At least that's the plan.
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, let's go to the Chief Technical Officer of Bike Federal right now. What about that, the upcoming splits? Does that make a difference in what you are thinking about as far as whether you should hold on to Bitcoin or take some of the profits off the table now?
I think Andy pretty summarized it pretty well, actually. So if there are forks, I think the majority of people that are new to Bitcoin right now, they have probably no idea. They probably don't even know the high transaction fees that Bitcoin brings with it. So there's probably also a lot of money that the other coins are going to attract. And, yeah. So that would be my take on it.
I agree 100%, especially when you're getting on the Coinbase. I mean, they're like, you know, they're robbery. I mean, it's crazy up there, the fees you pay to get on Coinbase. Transfer money on there and then transfer it out.
Well, especially with the transaction fees on Bitcoin right now. But you're paying, they're in the marketplace, and you're paying your price for convenience, for ease of use, and for whatever relative safety there is compared to the other exchanges.
Absolutely, but they are the only game in town right now.
All right, well, we have Philip Strybel, I believe I'm pronouncing his name, but I doubt I'll hear from him if I mispronounce it, the senior market strategist from RJO Futures. He was on CNB. He's coming up with courtesy of them. Just a short explanation of what to expect as the futures market unfold this weekend, tomorrow, especially when they start trading.
The one thing I'm watching is the launch of the Bitcoin futures. On December 10th and December 17th, the CBOE and CME will finally launch the long-awaited Bitcoin futures contract. This is really going to add a new element to Bitcoin, changing it from a buy-side only type contract into an ability where traders can come in and play both sides of the contract, from the long and the short side. If you look at the last 30 days, Bitcoin futures have gone from $5,600 on up to $18,000. If you take a 50% retracement of those two, you're probably going to come up with right around $7,000. So you'd want to put a stop loss order around $11,000. You know, the two pieces of advice that I can give to a trader out there is to always remember that you want to build a trading plan and you want to follow that plan and stick to the plan. The second thing is, with the rise that we've seen in Bitcoin futures, just like I've seen in other markets like gold at $1,900 and silver at $50, these markets tend to fall twice as fast as they rise. For Trading Nation, I'm Philip Strybel, Senior Market Strategist at RJO Futures.
All right, before we go back to the Trading View columnist that's in our midst, let's go to someone else who's very familiar with gold and silver, that since that was referenced in that audio. What do you have to say about that part of the segment, please, Augie?
Well, as he said, it falls faster than you know, and if there's no bottom, it never stops falling. And if you don't have buyers, if you cannot sell, and you're going to look around for people to sell to, and they're not there, everybody's running for the unlighted room to get out of the door.
Well, you know, pullbacks happen, and Augie, you've been a gold investor for a long time, and I'm a gold bug myself, and it's just one of those things that people that lose money buy at the top when everybody else is buying, and then they sell as it drops. But if you're a long-term investor and you've accumulated over a period of years, it's continuously gone up. And gold and silver is...
Gold's different. This is not like gold.
Well, it's digital gold. And I mean, and for millennials, this is what they're investing into. They don't read a newspaper. They read Yahoo. They read, what's going on the computer. So they are more into digital assets than we are. They use their payments, Square. And I can't even remember the one that everybody was using, Share or something.
And why is there an argument between, is it a currency or a commodity?
I think it's...
That's because it is not... A currency.
Well, it's a means of barter and exchange, and that's the crucial thing. If I'm sitting,
so were tulips at one time.
Yeah, well, we're not in the tulip era.
They destroyed Holland.
Let me separate this for a second because I want to get to Lenard here in a second. But it started as a currency. Certainly, people were using it to pay. We had Mark Edge, and I would urge people to go back if they want to hear the early days of Bitcoin to listen to Mark Edge of Free Talk Live at our podcast site. And find out what it was like then, because he talked about paying with that. It's not functional as a currency right now because of the transaction fees, and there's alternative to use. But it is, seems like a digital commodity to me right now. Somebody else can have a different opinion. Lenard, let's get you in front of the mic there. And now a couple things that we've talked about with both Lee and you over the last weeks. As the Byte Federal ATMs have expanded around, it's not like you go in when somebody wants a Bitcoin and you go buy it out on the market. You have to maintain an inventory. And
that's correct.
You've got two things happening. You have your rapid growth of the company itself, customers multiplying, users multiplying, and then you have a situation this week where you had incredible demand. And if you went out to buy the inventory, you were risking yourself because who knew what was going to happen with the price. How did you all deal with that?
Well, it is a constant struggle because volatility of Bitcoin, of course, hits us pretty hard. We're like in the middle between, let's say, wholesale Bitcoin holders, miners, and so forth, and then the retail customers. You just have to calculate those margins really, really thin. And sometimes people don't understand the 10, 15, whatever percent of the Bitcoin ATMs, besides all of the backlash of the banks that you face in such a business. And unfair practices, to be honest, it is the volatility, too, that we have to take into account. So it's not easy. You really have to calculate. You have to watch the markets really closely, and sometimes you have to go back into cash positions. But overall, looking at Bitcoin this year, it's been a booming market, and so I think September was the only month that really was bad, actually, for Bitcoin holders in general or people who were
in without going into proprietary information here. But you had to plan ahead as you add the ATMs, and you had to plan ahead for this particular week. Were your estimates of what the user growth would be this week?
No.
You came up short?
No, we came up short, yes.
And so did you
It was just one idea. Within 48 hours, I think, I slept 3 hours. It was just intense and insane. I think Coinbase, obviously, on a totally different scale, had a similar experience.
So you were booming this week?
Yes, as we were trying to find coins wherever we could for our customers who were starting to actually barter between each other in front of the ATM because the ATM was ran out of money.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy!
Like we had little
out of regular
US
dollars.
No, the coins. So in our network,
okay.
Yeah, they were the machines basically flashed the message that they were empty, and people were accumulating around the ATM. So I went from one to the other, and I saw people standing there and trading with each other.
That's crazy. I mean, you need to get in there. You know, maybe have a guy standing. Alex can do that, and then teach him how to trade too.
I actually had a lot of people call me trying to get rid of coins. A lot of people because they couldn't get them in the ATM, and a lot of people asked me where to buy them. Like my phone rang like crazy too.
Okay. Getting rid of them involved what?
Selling them to another person.
Had to find a buyer.
Why did they want to sell?
They made that when it went up $5,000, everybody wanted to sell, make profit, and then it was like the opposite too. When it went up $5,000, everyone to buy it also.
So, all right. One of the other things that happened, and we're going to take this into the break and come back out of the break with what actually happened with some of the altcoins and their new highs. But another trend that we saw as the money started coming into Bitcoin, first it just seemed like new money, but then it seemed like rotational money. As people, individuals, I would say, as opposed to hedge funds and other big players, sold off some of their altcoins to put it into Bitcoin. Did you find the same thing, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, it's typical trader mentality. If you're missing out, I'm going to jump out. I'm going to get out of Dash. I'm going to get out of these. I'm going to jump on the hot stock. And then that stock starts to drop, and you know, and they missed out on the Litecoin and Ethereum move. I mean, how many people sold Litecoin and Ethereum because it's been sitting there drying like paint on a wall? You're waiting for a month for this thing to move. Now it's moved, and you cashed out and sold it and bought into Bitcoin. It's now dipped.
All right, before we go into break, I want to do a couple of promos here. We are streaming on Facebook Live for the first time. It's on the show page on Facebook, not my personal page. So you go to at Henry Rain Show on Facebook to find it. I think, Alex, are we getting any comments up there yet? Or I think we're supposed to get streaming comments. I don't know how exactly it's all going to function yet. This was sort of on the fly as we decided to do that. But give it a try if you can find it. Go ahead and send the comments, and Alex is monitoring it over there. And then also the meetup is coming, the second Bradenton Bitcoin and cryptocurrency meetup. We had a great turnout the last time. I know we already have RSVPs at a higher rate for this one coming up, and we also have a lot of new members that have signed up at meetup.com. It's going to be December 30th at 4 p.m., so we shifted it back a couple hours because we're not really sure how much longer we're going to just cut the show off at 1:30. We may expand here, too. So by December 30th, we may have expanded the show again. But we will see you at 4 o'clock at Mocha Joe's, and I know Andy knows the street address there.
3633 Cortez Road West, right behind the McDonald's.
That's right. So we'll be there Saturday, December 30th, the Saturday between Christmas and New Year's. And also later in the show, we will have a very special guest. I'm still keeping it as a surprise for a little bit longer. Someone very accomplished in her own right. I've given away at least the gender here. In her own right. And I think it'll be interesting to find out how her profession intersected with Bitcoin and the meetup. But that's all you're going to get on the tease right now. We're going into the break. We're going to come back, find out what happened with Litecoin, IOTA, Ripple, and much, much more. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to comb it out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shops at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Mocha Joe's. They've got the Christmas jams going on in the coffee shop. Come in and try one of the delicious winter flavors on a chilly night. Pumpkin spice latte, the mega delicious chai tea latte, or a favorite, the chocolate mint combination and the Andes mint mocha. Look forward to seeing you all there.
You're listening to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Again, heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. and beyond. Also, as reminding you about the podcast, is available to listen to whenever you want on all the major podcast sites, Podomatic, Stitcher, SoundCloud, the iTunes store somewhere. And also, we really want to direct you to yours.org. If you want to support the show and support blockchain development, yours.org allows you to make micro payments, 10 cents, 20 cents. Some people, you know, spend $5. You can listen, make comments, et cetera, there, and they help the show out with Bitcoin Cash. That's at yours.org. We'll come back and talk about the meetup more later in the show. But before the break, we were talking about the price jumps and variations and the ups and downs, the whole roller coaster ride of Bitcoin. But that was not the only thing that was happening this week, among many things. And the first one I wanted to talk about, which is very close to my heart.
Tax breaks? Are we talking about tax breaks now?
CryptoKitties. I'm pretty sure.
That is Litecoin, which I've been following for a long time, and it seems to finally be having its day right now. Especially Friday was a good day. Could Litecoin be the next cryptocurrency to sustain major jumps before the year's end? There's been a lot of news around Bitcoin's growth, but Litecoin jumped a full 38% in a matter of hours. That was just on the 7th from $96 to $133. Well, last night, at least on Coinbase, it got as high as $191 after trading right under $100 early on Friday morning, and been for a little while right around what seemed to be its support, not to step on Andy's turf there, right around 100, 102, which was, had based out at a while. Currently, I haven't looked at it, but I probably it is still in a good territory. We'll find update you that on as soon as I can get to a computer screen here. Anyway, Litecoin year-to-date at the $124 price was 2,879% growth. So if we add another, looks like it's at $156. So if we add another $30 plus to the $124, and then we take the previous year-to-date 2,879%, and if I do the math in my head, I can tell you that the year-to-date growth is a bigger number than what the one I just said. So anyway, Bernard, you just added Litecoin to Byte Federal ATMs. By the way, let me tout everybody's websites while we're at it. ByteFederal.com, B-Y-T-E. ByteFederal.com. Find out how either you can host a ATM in your business or take advantage of their convenient locations all around the Southeast. We have also in the studio Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy. You can find him at TradingView.com. Now, I don't know. Last week was over 12,000 followers. How many is this week? Still around the same?
Yeah, 12,000. We hit 12,000 this week.
Yeah, that's a fair number. Yeah, that's almost as many listeners as we probably have right now.
Hey, many listen to the show. Many listen to the show.
We appreciate that. Also, you can find them on Facebook at Seeking Cryptos. That's Seeking Cryptos. We have Alex in the house also. Solus Digital Assets on Facebook. I don't know if the website is up and running yet. It is. What is the website?
Solus.international.
Okay. That's it? Just Solus.international.
That's easy. That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
No.com, just solus.international.
Okay. I'm glad you're not limiting yourself.
Worldwide there, baby.
Not this .us stuff. Anyway, so we have Litecoin. Anyway, Byte Federal. So you had just introduced this, in just a matter of weeks?
I think Litecoin for 2 weeks now, actually. Bitcoin Cash, we started last week.
Oh,
yeah.
So I think when we were talking to Lee, that was just still pending.
Everything is happening really fast in this space.
Yes, it is. Well, as we say here on the show, 7 days in crypto is like 7 months in human time. So So what's your experience first with Litecoin so far?
Well, Litecoin, we already got some customers asking. Well, we had a lot of customers asking before, and we had several transactions already. And I think Litecoin is helping Bitcoin a little bit because Bitcoin's transaction fees are just so high, and people are looking for other coins, and the Litecoin price is lower, which I think might be enough for especially some inexperienced users to just, you know, get started using it.
Absolutely, especially on Coinbase where, you know, it's trading, you know, it was trading below $100. You're looking there and you're going, gosh, I could get 1/10 of a Bitcoin here. I can get a whole Litecoin. So,
well, my coworker, after listening to me babble about cryptocurrencies for the last few months and following, she asked me how to get into it. And I said, you know, just before you get into it, let me just send you a fraction of a Litecoin so that you can get the experience of watching it. And she is now staring at her phone frequently throughout the day, and I told her it's like the video game you don't have to play. You know, you just look at it.
Wait till you start setting alarms. You're going at 1 o'clock in the morning. Your alarms start going off. Then 2:30, you're like, oh my god, I got to quit setting alarms.
I just I'm like a 90-minute sleep cycle. So I was that before cryptocurrency. So now instead of getting a drink of water, I just look at my phone.
Yeah, I learned the hard way with Bitcoin Cash when it shot up to $2,800 and I was sleeping through it.
And that's when I took advantage of information you gave out on this show as well as Lee Hansen. And I woke up and did three different trades throughout the night on Bitcoin Cash. But Bitcoin Cash, back to you, Lennart. So how's the response on that one?
Quite interesting. So the difficulty with Bitcoin Cash, it just looks like Bitcoin. The symbols, the icons, as is the name. So someone who's new to Bitcoin, they want to buy Bitcoin, they look at it, they start buying Bitcoin Cash, and then they send it to their Bitcoin address. And then you're in a world of pain. So that's tricky. It's kind of an experiment at this point. We'll have to see how this works out, and if we have to do maybe some design changes on the ATM just to make it clearer.
All right. And so we have Litecoin with cheaper transactions. See, Bitcoin Cash, that's supposedly its reason for growth and existence right now. Another currency that you have available at the ATMs is Dash. That's upgraded to where it's supposed to be very competitive now on fees, too. Are all those three about the same in efficiency and cost for purchasing and transactions?
I think pretty much, yes. Unless you're, because the difference between Bitcoin and those is that we're talking about dollars, right? So Bitcoin transactions can be several dollars unless you're working on a SegWit address. That might be different. But yeah, the fees on Ethereum Dash and Litecoin are much lower. But we do see the popularity of Ethereum comes first, and second I would say Dash, and then last is Litecoin.
Ethereum is as quick and as inexpensive.
Yes,
as
yes,
the other
I think
three?
It's like 2 minutes or so the confirmation, so it's fast.
And cost wise, it's
cost wise too. Yeah, the only problem with Ethereum was it was stuck too because of the CryptoKitties craze this week. So I think that's where Litecoin got an extra push.
Well. And then I've seen some other things that are a little bit too far beyond in the time we have to get in. Maybe even the next time you're in, we'll talk about some of the what are alleged negatives about Ethereum. But if you were a business that's interacting with their customers, would you say that, well, they may not, the business owner may not really realize at first how expensive it is to take Bitcoin. But once they do realize that, they're going to be either turned off or they're going to be looking for alternatives. If you were advising that business owner, do they need to find a way to accept all of these key currencies that you carry and maybe a couple others too?
Right. Most merchant processing software that's out there for Bitcoin actually supports multiple coins, so you won't be limited. But yes, I think I read an article, Valve, the big online gaming company, they just shut down their Bitcoin pay option because they said the fees are just not working for them. So we'll have to see which of the other coins will take over until Bitcoin's transaction fees come down again.
Well, moving on to another newsmaker this week in the cryptocurrency world, and again, another thing that Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, TradingView.com, Goldbug1, Seeking Cryptos, Facebook, talked about. It's like I said, you know, the week is so long in crypto time. What was it? So about a year and a half ago, like 2 weeks that you talked about
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about, how much was IOTA when you were talking about?
It was like 60 cents. It was crazy.
Okay. So this week, I guess maybe, I think we should take credit for this. The vast reach of not only your columns, but for people that can only understand the spoken word and can't read, they have us. And so I'm sure that contributed to it. Cryptocurrency was trading below a dollar around 10 days ago, jumped more than 450% to hit a new lifetime high of $5.55 on December 6th. The move erased the previous record of 110, and the news came on the acknowledgement that it was, I believe, partnering was it was Samsung and some of the other, and Microsoft, some major announcements there. What happened with IOTA? You were the one following it.
IOTA's in a space I want to be in, and that's the Internet of Things. I mean, that even in the stock market, I want to be in that space. So with the IOTA coming out, even though Ethereum, and that's probably he. I know Leonard's looking. He's bitten to get out there, but
yeah, I have to say that IOTA is really in its own space regarding the technology. So that's really fascinating. They have absolutely no transaction fees whatsoever, and they the more people participate in it, the faster it actually confirms. So we were anticipating this for a long time.
Yeah, and it's a great coin. I mean, it's still speculative. Keep that in mind. It's still speculative, but it is a great coin, and I've even seen some commercials with Verizon now. They're tracking fish shipments from as soon as they pull them in off the boat. I mean,
who is commercial? Is it?
It's Verizon's.
And they're saying
they're using blockchain. They're using blockchain to track, fish shipments. So as soon as it comes off the boat, they pack it on ice. They put a little temperature sensor in there that is blockchain oriented, and then from the boat through all the warehousing it goes to the sushi table, they know what the temperature of that fish
is.
That's
a new premium for your iPhone? You get a plate of sushi?
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, I mean, that's a great space to be in,
Verizon
IOTA.
Did mention IOTA in it?
No, but as companies start to adopt, not everybody's a Verizon where they can have their own blockchain. As companies start to adopt it, whether you're in vehicle transfers or your shipping stuff, this plays a big game in it that you can use their blockchain to do these transfers.
So, Leonard, this is the currency our toasters and our refrigerators will use. What is
correct.
That
mean? So when the AI wakes up, basically this is where how it's going to communicate or send it value or money to the different toasters to attack you. But definitely it's quite interesting and allows a different scaling of cryptocurrencies, there's no other cryptocurrency, as far as I understand, that's actually on the market.
Why does my refrigerator need a currency?
Well, what if you drink too much milk? What does it do then?
I get bloated.
Well, he has to buy it, right, for you, so that the Google car is delivering it.
No, I go to the store and buy my.
No, you're not gonna go anywhere anymore. You're just gonna watch your Bitcoin price.
Well, there's gonna be sensors. They're actually gonna put sensors in the milk jugs, which is crazy. And the milk jug, when it gets down to a certain level, the milk itself will know. It'll send a transmission out to your through your Wi-Fi. All that has to be paid. Somebody's got to pay for all those transmissions. AT&T, all these American Tower, you're utilizing their equipment to transfer the signal. So that's where IOTA comes into play for like what Leonard was saying for these micropayments.
When I try to explain this to people and I fail at it. I try to tell them that the world is going to change in a way that they really can't foresee, in the way they couldn't foresee what the Internet was going to do to them or for them in 1980s, or they couldn't say what the smartphone was going to do for them in 1999 or 2000. But one of the things I stumble upon is that all the different things that we take for granted as transactional things that we do throughout our day and week are not going to, we're not going to be conscious of them, and we're not going to be proactive in them. So let me ask Augie. Let me ask Leonard one quick question. So if I take my decision-making out of my refrigerator, and how is it going to know when I just don't feel like milk this week? Or maybe I want some chocolate milk this week.
There's probably also going to be a neural link to your brain, which will inform an avatar, which will make sure that you'll be taken care of very well.
So is that with Alexa or Google Home?
I'm thinking of Elon Musk's right now, Neuralink idea.
I love Elon.
Okay.
And Google and Google and Amazon know more about you than you know about yourself. So you'll have milk at your door, and you go, oh, my gosh, I did want chocolate milk.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg, in an interview a few years ago, said the next frontier for Facebook was telepathy. So, but let me go to Augie, because we're probably getting closer to the feeling about this of not having autonomy at that point and basically just being a programmed consumer. Somebody has to consume that milk so my refrigerator can buy it. When you hear Leonard talking about this future world,
I sort of know where you're going to come from, but tell the audience.
A lot of assumptions are that capitalism is the answer, and this is capitalism with consumerism assumed and presumed. And the problem is, without a guaranteed income for people, it won't matter. My hometown is Peoria, Illinois, the home of Caterpillar Tractor Company. In 2000, Caterpillar had 35,000 workers there. They're automated. Their production has not gone down, but gone up. They're down to 12,000 workers in 17 years. That's in 17 years. This is going to rapidly wipe out work of one kind, leaving no work for others. So arguing for predicting how wonderful it's going to be, I think it's going to be a nightmare. Retail's already going down the toilet. Sears is closed everywhere, virtually. The largest retail businesses are going away. You see this out down in this localities, restaurants of all that's left, and grocery stores, and hardware stores.
And nail salons, a lot of nail salons.
Well, the grocery stores
but the fundamental workforce called retail is down the toilet pretty much.
You know, I saw the CEO of General Motors, and he actually explained it pretty well about the fear of losing jobs from new technologies. And he goes, go back to the time when we had horse and buggies. When the car came out, everybody thought everybody's going to be out of a job because here I make wheels for buggies, and now, here comes the automobile.
I'm sorry.
But there's a product to replace.
There was a product, and there were new jobs made.
What is the replacement for the jobs that...
Absolutely.
An amazing event, set of technologies that you can't even fathom yet. I think even any activity nowadays that you just do or you help someone and it's not recorded, nobody sees it, might in the future be actually a captured value that promotes something, does something good for others. And so it might even turn into, this is my just own opinion or idea, it turns into a kind of a karmic force. Where before it wasn't possible to track a lot of value and things that people helped each other or did, and even where there's an inefficiency in the marketplace, that's also difficult to track, and with blockchain technologies that might be much, much easier. And so I think we see a wealth explosion.
I agree, a huge wealth explosion.
Let me point out that Mark Cuban was the Shark Tank host, the billionaire, sold off, I think, Broadcast.com to Yahoo, then bought the Dallas Mavericks. He's got a few things going on. He said that in a Bill O'Reilly interview, and Bill O'Reilly was like, well, yes, we have to retrain these people for new jobs. And Mark Cuban was like, no, there's nothing for these people to do.
That's right.
We need to figure out what we're going to do with these people.
Exactly.
And the whole Puritan work ethic, maybe.
Look at the situation right now you have with people about health care. Between the age of 45 and 65, they're praying to get on Medicare as quick as they can, because Medicaid is going to be wiped out by this current tax cut. So where are people going to get health care? And that's the big industry in this country that's remaining.
Let me turn this back around on you and speak to the artist in the crew here, which would be Augie if you're not having to keep a score about this over the weeks. You're a professional artist. You can make a living from this. But you are a participant in the artistic creation. Maybe all these surplus people, and pardon the term.
I can hire them?
No. Maybe the reason for their existence in their personal self
become creative people and market it.
Is just to...
But you have to have a buyer.
No, because they're going to have a guaranteed wage. You already told us that.
Well, I'm not saying I would. I think you're not going to, under this current leadership, you're not going to get anything approximating.
Well, they'll be out by the time this takes over.
I hope not.
Well, we got a good 8 years of tax breaks and economic growth, so I'm looking forward to
that.
I'm con time.
Wow.
We got one more currency here I want to hit, because it's important for Lennar to explain it to the audience, because I doubt we could do it sufficiently. And then we're going to go to a break. We do have audio from Roger Ver, the so-called Bitcoin Jesus. And we have him talking about what the futures are going to look like. We have him talking about Bitcoin Cash. And then we'll get to our special guest. Everything else on the 20 pages of rundown I don't think we're going to get to. But the Ripple price has spent the majority of the week in decline, falling from 25.4 cents to 22.2 cents. I know that seems small, but when you consider there's, 80 billion of those out there, it adds up. Anyway, the Ripple price shot up as high as 27.2, which is a 13% gain in 12 hours. I know that sounds like small potatoes when we talk about 50% gains an hour. But this was justified, and the catalyst for it was the announcement that Ripple had placed $55 billion of its $61.8 billion Ripple into escrow. That's each month 1 billion tokens will be unlocked for Ripple's use, and any unused tokens will be placed back into escrow. Now, Ripple, I understand some of the major financial institutions have already implemented this. I see that CEO, Mr. Garlinghouse, on CNBC. He's a great spokesperson and advocate for his point of view for blockchain and cryptocurrency. Can you give us a little, Lennart, can you give us a little primer about Ripple and what it is and does?
So from my perspective, Ripple is one of the coins that are extremely centralized, where you have one company running the whole show, and that's why there's a philosophical difference between other cryptocurrencies that are mostly open source and have usually several developer teams that are independent of each other, and of course many different miners around the globe working on them. Here you have one company issuing security-like tokens, and you can participate in the price finding, and then sometimes it appreciates, sometimes it goes down. But the banks, of course, like this idea. They like it a lot, and so they have a lot of institutional backers. But again, there's a philosophical divide, as you can hear from my own description, between Ripple and other coins.
Well, the one thing that Ripple does do, and even though it is centralized, like you say, is it allows smaller banks to compete on an international platform, where the Dutch banks and J.P. Morgan and the HSBCs of the world have controlled money transfers. This allows the smaller banks like Synovus and that to do the same thing.
If you will, you could see Ripple as a step in between the current limited, very, very limited banking system and the cryptocurrencies, which wouldn't even need a Ripple centralized solution. But, of course, because of a lot of regulation and compliance, I guess Ripple found its space in between.
Yeah. And I am long Ripple.
Let me ask you quickly about one other one before we go into a break here. This totally personal self-interest, because I saw this as a competitor, and I do hold some. Stellar Lumens. Are you familiar with that one? And how would that be different or the same? Or what?
I think it's very, very similar. I think the founder of Ripple, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, I think he's also the one who launched Stellar. So I'm not too familiar.
I'm not as familiar.
I understand it. They had a big news item with IBM entering into some kind of partnership with them. Deloitte has been on board with them for a couple years, and they're focusing on the Asian undeveloped world, whereas I guess Ripple focuses more on the developed world, and they're trying to get, I guess, peer-to-peer exchanges since there just aren't the financial institutions in these places. But anyway, I guess we'll keep our eye on that one, too. So coming up after the break, we'll hear what Roger Ver has to say, and some observations about that from our panel here. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show.